Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
Well, in the first half, WWE's Maria Kanellis joins us. We'll talk a little crazy old wrestling with her. Also, I'll do my Jay Leno breaks down the Comedians Act you've never heard of. And we'll do all that right after this. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, former WWE champion Maria Kanellis and comedian Jonathan Kite. With Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects, and now, superstitious gypsy bitch, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. You got to get it on. The church are going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Paul Bryan?
Shit, yeah!
All right. Well, somebody tweeted me and they said, you doing a Jay Leno breaking down famous comedians who are dead's act was funny. You should do that with other comedians. And so I started to think of comedians that were a little off the beaten path.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what makes it funny.
Yeah, these are people.
Yeah, because the idea was we'd go to Jay to ask him about some semi-obscure comedian who he may have met at the Tonight Show or something.
Brian's not a bad guy. Why did we put him in a hole?
Check.
You have a delay on your board.
Not me.
Turn it off.
A little echo, but yeah. So we will resurrect some of these people.
That's pretty funny.
And it's, I don't think it's good if it's not for Norm MacDonald, for instance.
No.
But, or Lenny Bruce. But it could be. But I like the slightly deeper cut. Now,
Charlie Hill?
Charlie Hill. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I was, the one guy I think about from time to time who was very skilled. Prominent stand-up comedian. His name John Panay.
Yeah.
Familiar?
Nope. Mm-mm.
I think it's, is it Panette? Like, I'm seeing Panette.
I know Jean Benet.
It's spelled Panette, but he, I think, called it, I don't know, Ass August.
Oh, he looks very familiar.
Yeah, he'll look familiar to you.
Kind of early 90s guy.
Yeah, he was a big, fat guy.
Yeah.
Who did big, fat humor.
Yes.
But it was funny.
Yes.
He had this his signature bit. Now he looks familiar, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
His signature bit, and I'm sure it was John Panay, or that's how they said it, but it's spelled Panette, but there's a lot of names that are that way, or nay, right?
On his wiki there's a pronunciation. It just
oh, really?
Panette. But Panette. I mean,
well, let's see how Jay Leno.
Did Jay Leno bring him up in this clip? No, it just starts at his
act. It's him on the Tonight Show.
I'll find another video just to see for.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was Panette. Maybe he pronounced. Once in a while, people do it for you. It's Panette, and then people look at it and go, oh, my, I speak French. It's Panette.
Is it
perfect example happened 2 weeks ago with Rappaport.
Yeah.
Right.
Is it Gal Gadot? Gal Gadot? Gal Gadot?
Right. Maybe that happened with John Panay or Panette. Either way, he's a big, heavy set guy, died in 2014 at age 50. So he'd be 58 today. And we'll just play you some of his set from the. Happily, he was on the Tonight Show. All these guys were on the Tonight Show.
I figured I'd start a little diet for the summer, you know, you want to look good in the Speedo. And actually, it's easy to diet now. You know what I can't diet is Girl Scout cookie season. I mean, they come to the door, except they don't have the cookies now. Now they come to the door, they have this order form. I hate that thing. When am I getting the cookies? 3 weeks. Wait, where are you making these cookies? Romania?
Hey, get the Romanian
cookie
jar.
You come to my house at 8 a.m, you bring cookies. This one girl, she had the cookies. She had Thin Mints. Oh. I have a Pez dispenser for those.
They did the whole Thin Mints, the Pez thing with
yes.
The whole Do-Si-Don't thing. That was his thing. He did the Girl Scout thing. He was the cookie guy.
I saw those Thin Mints. I said, ah, I think you're going to win the trip to Washington this year.
They do the whole cookie thing.
This
remember
will be
that?
Fine for now. Go back and get the rest of the troops. I went out for Chinese food recently.
They did the Chinese buffet bit. This is his
Chinese buffets, though. You know, I'm usually not welcome.
Wouldn't fly today.
They have my picture.
It's cultural appropriation there.
No buffet.
No, give me
the
point.
He's the no buffet guy.
Buffet not for you.
No, it's
you're
different
crazy.
Time.
It's not my fault, though. You get hungry again with Chinese food. And it's a different kind of hunger. You go from full to starving. There's nothing in between. You go, oh, my God, I can't believe I ate all that chow mein. Hey, look, they brought egg rolls. Chew.
He did the chow mein. He did the lo mein. He did it all.
He's got skinny guy hands.
I went to this one Chinese buffet. I got a flyer in the mail. It says grand opening. Chinese buffet. So I go with a couple of large mammal friends. I get to the front door, and the owner's there, and he goes, "We closed."
Tried to get into the buffet. We did the whole flyer.
No, we closed. Says grand opening. No, we closed. No buffet here. We dry clean now.
to the whole triangle, you know.
My
ancient Chinese secret.
John Panette. What is that? What, rewind it.
It's Panette. So says the internet, or so says Chris.
I've heard him tell that joke multiple times.
That was his bit. The
yeah.
Chinese.
You've been here 4 hours. You go now.
Well, he had.
Jesus, please. That's the one.
He had a night.
Right, no.
He probably had a nightclub. The club version
right.
of it that was 11
less
minutes.
Offensive.
And then there's this one, which you have to whack down to 63 seconds.
Right.
So he's bringing, you know, he's reeling
right.
it in. But
Leno was a big fan of him.
Yeah.
Had him on all the time.
Did I'm Your Home for the Whopper. He did that whole, this is me,
right.
and I'm the Whopper. He did the whole In and Out thing. He did the whole donut hole thing.
A lot of food-based stuff,
no.
Jay?
No.
He did the
difference between it's a churro, it's a donut, the straight one is a donut hole.
Right.
He did the whole pie versus cake thing.
It's kind of
he did the Girl
honestly.
Scout cookie thing. Yeah. He did a lot of different stuff, you know.
But mostly food-based.
Based on his description, I would say it's entirely food-based.
No, no. He did the Twinkies a straw. Did the suck the Twinkie dry.
Uh-huh.
Joke.
Yeah.
You know,
that could be a gay joke.
Yeah. He did the whole bear claw thing. That was his thing. He did
about an actual bear claw?
No. He's talking about dessert.
Oh.
You know, like the donut
thing. Right. So.
He did the pecan log. That was his thing. You know, he did the whole shopping with three wagon trainer carts. That was his thing. Wagon trainer carts. You know, take eight carts, put them together.
But Daisy chain them.
Well, he said he used wagon trainer.
Okay, yeah. More
yeah, but anyway.
Our mistake. It's not all food based.
Yeah, he did the whole buffet.
Right.
You know, he did the Chinese buffet, did that whole bit of Stockholm Swedish buffet thing.
Oh,
that was
that's
his thing.
Funny.
Yeah, did a lot of buffet humor.
Like
mostly buffet humor.
Hofbräu. Yeah.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah, he did the brats versus sausage. His whole thing was Canadian bacon. That was his thing.
Yeah, so food.
Oh, that was him. The Canadian bacon ham bit was that.
Lance Bacon did ham. He did Canadian bacon.
Oh, that was
he did.
Yeah,
he did liverwurst. He did head cheese. He did pimento loaf. He did bologna.
Oh.
He did salami. All that. He did the whole
mortadelle.
Yeah, he did
capicola.
He didn't do this.
Oh,
but he did the whole lunch meat thing.
The basic: the ham, the turkey, the salami.
That was Panette.
Oh,
or was there Panette?
You'd think it would because he played Love's Penne.
That's a good point. Penne vodka.
Yeah, I did that whole thing. That was his thing.
Thanks, Jay.
So, he'll be missed.
No.
He did the chasing the food truck. That was his thing. He did the no toilet could hold him. That was...
That's not food
okay,
related.
So you're right. He's not...
It's not
that's
all
what
food.
I said. I didn't
it's
say
not
it was
all food.
Food.
Yeah, no, I'm pointing out to Gina that it wasn't a food bit.
Yeah, he did the whole Liberty Bell, put the crack in the commode thing. That was his
that's
in
good.
Philly when he was in Philly.
So it's either food or how big I've gotten because of food.
Nah, just did comedy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Just garden variety.
Mm-hmm.
Observational.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not much space in a garden.
He did the whole hijacked Ask Him Out of Your Wiener truck. That was his bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we call it hijack now.
Yeah.
You know, he did that whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah. He did the popcorn at the movie. That was his thing. Did the smuggle of the Tootsie Rolls. The theater thing. It was all his.
Yeah.
Any political humor? I mean, this would have been like circa 1990.
Well, yeah, he did one on Ike. I like Ike, but it was Mike and Ike.
I get it.
He did I Like Ike, and then he paused, and he said Mike and Ike's, you know.
That's funny.
Mike too, yeah.
That's really funny.
That was his, because, you know, he did the Mike and Ike thing.
He didn't really get into politics.
Relationship.
It wasn't all food. He said, I don't do Slim Jims. It's got the word Slim in it.
Oh, that's
okay.
Good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that wasn't food based.
Right. And like pop culture, like movies of the 80s and 90s. And
pop kettle corn culture, stuff like that. Yeah, he'd do all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he had such a wide range
pop
of comedy.
Stuff, pop tarts, you know, he'd do a lot of pop stuff.
Yeah. It was like one of pop the rocks. comics.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. We might not know all of his bits.
We don't get the nuance, the subtleties.
Yeah, he didn't like Slim Jims, and he didn't like short ribs, because had the word short, had the word slim, so he stayed away from that.
Away.
So it wasn't all food.
Well, now I learned something today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did the bury me in a refrigerator box. He did a lot of that, you know.
Or a vaudevillian.
Yeah.
So he's missed.
He'll be missed.
Clearly.
Yeah, John Panette, everyone had heard, has seen Panette, sorry. And everyone has seen it.
As Emmy reminded me, he was in the finale of Seinfeld, the one getting robbed. Remember the whole thing about
the
citizen's arrest? That was the whole episode.
Oh, they all went to jail?
Oh,
wow.
Oh, yeah. No, he did that. He did the whole, someone stole my jelly beans.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Went to jail over that?
I guess.
He must have known Seinfeld. He was kind of on the scene with him for... Probably working it for 20 years.
He was just
a perennial. He was just out there all the time.
Would he be just like the cruise ship guy? I mean, like that's who you see. Like
he was the captain said he was too.
Was the boat listing?
He wasn't allowed to go to one side.
Yeah, it was listing.
He said he did his comedy down the middle, and he said down the middle he meant in the middle of the ship.
Literally,
you know what I mean? Wouldn't go one side or the other.
Everyone would have to meet the lobby.
Yeah, people like you do right, you do left comedy. He meant no, not political. This is down the middle.
His comedy's never starboard.
Mm-hmm. But he did starburst.
Right.
Well, it was a different.
That's right.
Joke.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't
it's funny.
Wasn't nautical.
Yeah.
But he did the starburst, Mike and Ike's. He did the good, but plenty, and he put his hands up, you know what I mean? Not for this man, you know, good, but plenty.
I didn't realize that was him. I've heard that joke 100 times.
Yeah, I didn't
good and plenty, but he would do good and plenty?
Was he Jewish? Did he do the Jew-gy fruits candy
No,
joke?
That wasn't him.
Oh, offensive. Sorry.
No, he wouldn't go blue, he wouldn't go Jew, he wouldn't go there. He was right down the middle of the ship, right there.
I see.
He was clean. You know what I mean?
We're on the bow line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did the whole hung myself on a lobster bib. And I mean, that was his stuff. You know what I mean?
I get it. I see because it's not – he's not a food-based comedian. Inside food, he goes starburst. He goes lobster. There's nothing he can't tackle.
No.
No issue he can't tackle.
No. He did tackle the good humor man once. He had a bit – Well, the good humor man was leaving, and he tackled him before he got to his condo.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I think
that ended up in the news.
Yeah.
That really happened.
That made the rounds.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he couldn't – he had to lean into it, you know, and he wasn't a good leaner.
Yeah, I probably
he
just tipped
fall
over.
Forward.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Hmm?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I for one, appreciate you letting us know some of his great jokes.
Yeah, there's a lot of great comedians out there you guys haven't heard of. And I'm bringing them on the encyclopedia. I know their act. They've been on the show many times. I've seen them.
Yeah, we know the Chris Rocks and we know the Louis C.K.'s. But, yeah, John Panette, you know, those kinds of guys can get overlooked. And, Jay, that's what you're here for.
Yeah, he did. He was way back. He started, cut his teeth with Carson. He was over there.
Oh.
And Carson actually, after I said, he waved him over. Waved him over to stand next to the couch. He didn't want him to sit. He didn't feel like he could get him off the couch.
You know what I mean?
So he had to be back in Malibu.
That's
you know?
Sad.
Yeah. So he'll be missed.
That's
Johnny
really...
would physically get people off the couch?
Well, sometimes they use a grip, stagehand.
That seems more appropriate.
Well, unions were stronger back then.
That's a really good point.
There's no union
You're
in removing a comedian
do...
from a couch.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Ed was 3 sheets of the wind by the time the third act came around, you know.
Oh, you must have stories about Ed.
The trouble getting Ed off the couch, you know what I mean?
This is really interesting. I hope maybe someday you can tell us about, like, Emo Phillips.
Don't know that name.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Oh, Emo, yeah. Yeah, he's the guy at the Page Boy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the one. He kind of the weird voice.
He'd do his voice, and then he'd do the Page Girl with Eric, and that was his thing.
That was his thing,
I mean?
That's right.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Good.
All right, let's see. He toured with Frank Sinatra. Is that what you're saying? John Panette?
Yeah, that was his big break.
Wow.
Early break.
Feels like a sort of a Jersey Connection kind of thing. I can see that.
Join the touring cast of Hairspray.
That's amazing. Wait, he could have played her mom, you know, like Divine and John Travolta. Did he? Because that's always like a cross-dressed role.
I guess he.
Either way.
Edna Turnblad.
That's right. Okay. That's the mother.
He didn't play the gym coach.
Edna Turnblad's the mom.
He starred or co-starred in the with Thomas Jane, yesterday's guest, in The Punisher? Wow.
No. Wait, are we talking about
things? I don't know.
This is range.
I'm not sure.
I mean, it's possible, but that's crazy.
Yeah?
Okay.
Let's see. Did a bunch of TV shows. What the hell? There's no... He had a part in The Punisher. All right. I'll buy it if that's what the internet
was
says.
Was he punished?
Emmy is going crazy because he loves The Punisher. He's like, yeah, totally. He's the neighbor.
John Tenet, but he had a career.
Oh.
Emmy is such a big fan.
Spanned years, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. So with all these guys, I mean, I'm sure I'll fall into that category one day. Oh, that guy.
Right on left.
Complained about the arrows.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. We can find out, as long as we're on John Panette, his whole slightly longer version of the Chinese buffet. It's a kind of signature bit of his. Very funny. Well, speaking of eating, I'll buy Chris a little bit of time. I guess it was the LA Unified School District just sort of retweeted or shared a video about students and eating and eating without guilt. Food neutrality.
They are, Gina, I think we talked about this, but I'm getting relentless texts and emails and whatever about LAUSD offering free lunch and free breakfast this year. Everyone eats free.
And that's,
They are trumpeting that.
I told you that's my problem because I want my stepson to eat what I make him because it's not garbage, but since it's free, he can get it without my permission or without money.
And it's a cinnamon roll every morning.
Mini corn dogs.
would rather have.
That's right. Exactly.
But bigger picture, as I was complaining about years ago and is featured on the Young Turks when they were dismantling me for saying they're playing clips of me saying, I don't care about the money. I don't want kids indoctrinated into a system where somebody's in charge of feeding them. It's a scary proposition. They, of course, then played the clip and then said I was too cheap to feed kids. Even though it was stated that I pay enough in taxes. I don't really care about the $1.10 it costs to feed the kid every day. It was more about the indoctrination. Look, if you do a thing where you go, everyone goes like, Olga, I had a 17-hour day yesterday. And Olga made chicken paprikash with no kettle. Ooh. And I got home, and I had a bite of that, and it was like I was back with my grandfather.
It was like seeing out of Ratatouille. Just taken back for
great
years.
Laszlo Gorog was still with us, and I was standing in his kitchen. And it meant something. And when people talk about your mom, your family, parents, you know, what inevitably comes up is comfort food. What was your mom's dish? Like, what did she make? What was her thing? And then people will wax poetic about their mom's meatloaf or fried chicken or whatever it is. Well, this is the opposite of that. This is LA Unified School District feeding slop to your kids. And I think people think that I'm like hysterical about it. I am not. It is taking your kid. First off, the message to your kid is you're on your own. Let the government help you out. I'm not getting involved with this.
Well, didn't they feed you at school?
You are the parent. The gesture, the symbolism of making your kid a lunch is huge. Of feeding them breakfast is huge. But now it's been outsourced to the government. And when I was talking about the crate training and getting them to mask up when they're 4 years old and stuff like that, it's all part of this thing of the state shall indoctrinate you. They shall get you into the tent and then they shall provide. They won't provide anything good.
No.
They'll just provide enough for you to be fat and angry. And then you can sit around and transition. We can go from, well, the state fed me, and now the state shall take care of my college loans. And then later on, they should kick some universal income back to me because I choose not to work. It's just a bad, it's a horrible signal. And it's wildly unhealthy, but I'll play the vid.
Yeah, so this is on Friday. The Instagram account for the LA Unified School District's Human Relations, Diversity, and Equity Office.
I wonder how much that cost us.
Shared this video, and here it is.
I got us donuts.
Those are so bad for you.
Oh, no. Are they moldy? I mean, are they poisoned? Are you allergic?
No, I'm just saying.
Mm. You're judging my food choices based on a false standard of health again, aren't you? Guilty.
Bad culture.
All right, hold on a second. Is it a false standard of health?
I think it's an objective standard. A huge amount of sugar and carbs is probably not great for you.
Oh, this isn't real.
I was going to say, well,
this
what's
is parody.
All right. Well,
So this video was created by black bisexual Muslim influencer Blair Amani as part of her series Smarter in Seconds. and is in collaboration with Dr. Kira Niem Diop, who goes by the Black Nutritionist.
Okay.
Let's see how this ends.
When I started screaming 20 years ago when we do the she's the first two-time black female two-time black Emmy award nominee, it's like, could we stop with the categorizing with all the colors all the time? It's not going – it's not leading anywhere good. I've said it a kajillion times.
You know, that is so funny you said that because, you know, Cheryl Lee Ralph, she won an Emmy this year for Outstanding Actress, whatever. Do you know how that was titled? Hmm. It was first black woman to win that award in 30 years.
Right.
So that by math doesn't make you the first.
Well, also, are you doing the actor or actress a service by announcing they're gay or black? Can't we just treat them like Martin Luther King wanted, where we just go, she won.
She was the best.
Good for her. Yes.
I got to see where this donut bit is going.
By the way, for those not watching, it is a pile of donuts.
Like Homer Simpson donuts.
It's not a plate. It's a platter of, yeah. I'm guessing, minimum
donuts. Not even the cake ones either, the bad raised ones.
Yeah.
You're judging my food choices based on a false standard of health again, aren't you? Guilty.
Diet culture, fat phobia, and systems of oppression have created false hierarchies of food, and it shows up everywhere.
For instance, harmful thought patterns like earning food through exercising, or that dessert is the reward for the punishment of eating vegetables.
Remember that you do not need to earn food.
We are all incorrectly taught from a young age that our size and therefore
what's
the foods
handle?
That we eat are markers of our self-worth. Moralizing food can lead to harmful relationships with food and disordered eating.
Instead of focusing on good and bad choices, try to approach food with neutrality in mind.
The only foods that are bad for you are foods that contain allergens, poisons, and contaminants.
Oh,
or food that is spoiled or is otherwise inedible.
Eat without guilt, regardless of what society says.
There were two messages being sent at the same time. One, you've talked about a million times, which is stop putting energy around food. The kids are going to grow up and need it because it was taken from them. But then parallel, it was
There's
no such thing as bad food. There's only such thing as guilt. So those are two different messages.
And then the sort of exercise thing, you shouldn't have to equate exercise with like what you eat. Yes, you should. You definitely should factor in how much you exercise because no one's in better shape than The Rock. And The Rock has his big cheat days on Sundays, but that's because he works out the other six days out of the week. And it seems to work for him.
I wish this was a little more nuanced because like – You've said this before, too. Like, we spend too much time thinking about food. I know I do. And it's like, I don't want to spend all my time thinking about food as punishment or reward. Like, let's just move on to something else besides food. But then they throw in this insidious message, which is don't shame me for eating donuts.
Well, There's a platter of donuts.
Yeah.
One of the women was bigger than John Panette.
Indeed, especially now.
Her handle was Savage X Fatty.
Didn't we just get done with COVID where we figured out how many... If you're morbidly obese, what can your older life look like from a health standpoint?
You may not have an older life.
You may not have an older life. I said older.
Panette died at 50.
I didn't say old intentionally because I didn't mean what's it going to be like when you're 90. It's like what's it going to be like when you're 49 and your fucking joints are gone in your knees and you've had dialysis and diabetes.
Congestive heart failure.
Well, all of it. It's bad. And aren't the brown kids and the black kids suffering more from this problem? It's a major problem. Why are we? It's a major problem. And now what we're trying to do is sort of justify it so you don't feel bad. No, you should feel bad, and then that should motivate you to change.
And you know what's even more insidious about it? You know who is so excited and so behind this message? Fast food companies, shitty snack companies.
Yeah.
Because if you go to lower income neighborhoods, that's all there is. There's no grocery stores with great produce. I live next to them. I understand.
Yeah.
It's all shit. So, you know,
no Carl's
Jr.
in the hood.
No! So McDonald's all going, yes, yes, keep feeding them this message. That's villainous.
Well, Bill Maher's got this one right. I will say that. On another find, told Chris to pull out some liked tweets.
Oh.
So he did. Do we have an intro? Oh, we do. Yeah.
Sorry,
we
I didn't know we were doing this.
Oh, sorry. He probably should have.
Yeah, well, that was
on the rundown. That's my fault.
Hmm? Oh, on the rundown. All right. Verbalize, though. It's always safer. All right. Well, we don't need it, but you can play it if you want.
Oh, I got it.
All right.
Here's the tweets he liked. He didn't reply because he cannot type. Here's the tweets he liked. Sent him by you to piss him off all day and all night. Here's the tweets he liked.
So somebody tweeted you about a San Francisco bike story.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm already worried.
Yeah, Dawson has the article.
San Francisco Bicycle Coalition says not to call police about stolen bikes.
No, don't waste your time.
Because it hurts black and brown people.
Oh, that's interesting.
What?
San Francisco crime has skyrocketed since
racist.
2020.
This? Okay.
I can't wait for this.
The implication is, who do you think is committing all the crimes?
Yeah, they're genetically predisposed to steal 10 speeds, and there's nothing that we can do about it. Like, this is insane. First off, whoo, you want to talk about soft bigotry. Ain't soft. This is just bigotry. We cannot enforce this law because it affects these people who break this law, and that happens to be of this group.
Wait, maybe they mean that the black or brown kid who got his bike stolen calls the police, and the police come over and beat him up.
Oh, I hope so.
So that's probably better.
I hope so.
This gets good. Bike theft has grown into an epidemic in the Golden City in response to the San Francisco Bike Coalition wrote on their considerations section of their website that victims of bike theft should reconsider calling the police as black and brown people could be harmed from the interaction. One Twitter user responded, San Francisco Bicycle Coalition acknowledges that black and brown people are way overrepresented as bike thieves, but says not to report them because filing theft reports.
By the way, I do like the overrepresentation.
Mm.
Filing theft reports leads to them being impacted by police. You can't make this up. Stanley Roberts posted a screenshot of the original message.
Here's all I'm saying. Whether it's Fatty McFatsmith getting fatter or giving the green light to folks of color to steal shit, can we just step back and go, how the fuck's this going to end? Is it helping? Is it helping this group? What the group needs to do, whether it's donuts or bikes, is do it, be punished, and then learn not to do it anymore.
Or as you said about the ID situation when everyone decided that black people weren't able to get IDs, mm-hmm. It was, okay, it's not, well, then we don't need IDs. It's how do we get you an ID? You need an ID. How do we help you? So
yes.
This is like
get
the
them a
other
bike.
Side of that coin.
But except they don't ride the bike. They sell the bike. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. What about embezzlement?
Oh.
I would argue that that is the realm of Whitey.
Probably.
Overwhelmingly.
Sure. Cayman Island
money.
Can
you cut us some slack?
Yeah, come on. Don't report that.
My group is overrepresented in embezzlement.
In the minimum security prison system.
Yes. Sorry. Insider trading. There are many crimes that my people are overrepresented in.
Yeah.
How about a break?
The original message read, black and brown people are often deeply harmed or even killed by interactions with the police, and the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition decided in 2020 to end any formal relationship with the SFPD. The organization recommended minimal contact with the police and encouraged everyone to consider the potential impact to human life of involving the police in any situation.
In any situation? Yes, there is a potential impact of human life if somebody pulls a fucking knife on you and you call the police.
You know what group agrees with them? The mafia.
Yes.
So how are we going to solve this?
Now, if you turn on Fox News will go, these taxpayers are now not able to get justice because someone stole their Schwinn. I take it from a completely different angle, which is you are fucking up the black community. You are fucking up the community. First off, having sets of laws like, hey, that's your drinking fountain, that's our drinking fountain, that's your lunch counter, that's our lunch counter. Here's our laws about stealing bikes, here's your laws. That's a fucking recipe for disaster, and that's where we're going. Also, you would then entice more folks to get involved with this crime if they knew it. And that would be, you know, why get a minimum wage job down at Fisherman's Wharf?
Do you know where our community is overrepresented? And I say our community, the mafia.
Oh, that's right.
Way overrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
The Coast of North
Yeah, North. Hey, take it easy with those RICO acts.
Yeah, right.
The San Francisco Bicycle Coalition wrote of their dedication to anti-racism in 2020, saying, quote,
our streets, to enforce laws.
Our streets will not be safe until black people can use them without fear. We stand in solidarity with those protesting the murders of Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, Tony McDade, and Breonna Taylor, and the continued police violence against black lives. We are committed to being an anti-racist organization, and as a majority white organization, we know we have more learning and growth to do.
Oh, that's good. It's so awesome.
So talk about like whitewashing.
They don't want to go to the cornfield.
But that's the thing. It's like, so do you feel better? Like have all injustices been righted now since you have decided that this is that we don't call in bike thefts?
Yeah, we're heading in the right direction.
All right. Well, again, San Francisco, get back to me in a couple of years and tell me just how this shit is going. It's already the whole defund the police thing turned into a shit show.
Gotta get Gascon's name on my tattooed on my face, fool.
Fool. All right. Our guest is here. So let me tell you about stamps.com. Holidays have a way of sneaking up on us, especially for a small business. Get prepared. Get stamps.com, the 24/7 post office you can access anywhere. I've used it here for 12 plus years. We ship merch, we do books, we do paperwork, plus exclusive discounts like up to 86% off of UPS rates. Rates are constantly changing with stamps.com. You can switch. They have a switch and save feature. You can compare carriers and rates and get the best deal every single time. Sign up with the promo code Adam for a special offer, including a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale, no long-term commitments or contracts. Stamps.com. Click on the microphone on top of the homepage, and you enter in Adam for real savings. That is Stamps.com. All right, Maria Kanellis is coming in. Wrestler and raconteur. Got a lot of great stories, and we'll talk to her right after this. You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Concrete here. Your body makes half the creatine it needs, and the other half comes from your diet. But most American diets are low in creatine-rich foods, and that's where Concrete comes in. Patented creatine, HCL. It's a favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes. I take this every day. Dr. Drew swears by it as well. Nice lemony flavor to it. Subtle, but nice. The number one bioavailable creatine and the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds of your body weight. Shake it up with some water and you'll feel the energy immediately. Creatine is required for functional energy in every cell. Your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body, and your immune cells need it as well to protect you. Heart cells, lung cells, they all need it. It is Concrete, right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with Concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card available now online and in-store at Walmart. Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. on Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Yo, Ace Man, Jason calling from Brentwood, California. You know, I walked into a 7-Eleven the other day. There was an employee inside the store with a gas-powered leaf blower blowing all the dust and trash from underneath the shelf. I stood there in line, breathing in dust and carbon monoxide. It was interesting. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I think we heard that one, right? Or did I hear it somewhere else?
I mean, there's enough cases to go around.
Might have heard that somewhere else, but somebody, that's the first time I've downloaded it.
Somebody called in, I think somebody called in and told me that, maybe on another podcast. Anyway, Maria Kanellis is in studio, former WWE champion and CEO of Women's Wrestling Army. Good to see you.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
The only champion wrestler who was pregnant?
Yes, nice. The 24/7 championship. Me and my son.
Well, what about Brock Lesnar?
Technically, you're a tag team champion. Congratulations.
Exactly. You know, I feel like for life, my son is going to be signing that damn belt.
Did you wrestle pregnant?
I did not. No, my husband actually beat me for the title, so he slept on the couch for a while.
I'm glad because before she came on, she said, somebody said, I won't say who. They just said, she wrestled pregnant. And I said, she did? That seems dangerous.
No, I did not.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Do that after 15 weeks and Lindsey Graham's coming after
that's
you.
Right.
Oh,
that's right.
Seemed weird, yeah.
That would be weird.
So, strikes me now that wrestling is an option for very attractive athletic women where it wasn't, you know, it was, Playboy, modeling, pop singer and stuff like that.
What was the one we liked
now.
In GLOW, Brian? Who's the big gal?
Fabulous Moolah.
From back in the day,
that's right.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that was wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, it's changed a lot over the last 20 years. I've been in it for 18 years now. And when I first started, it was mostly pillow fights and, bikini matches. But now it's definitely a formidable sport. We have a lot of MMA girls. We have girls that have done karate or jiu-jitsu that come into wrestling. And
they're pretty badass
athletes. They're elite performers. They really are. They're incredible.
And some of the guys in the wrestling, I'm generalizing, but are so bulky they can't pull off like the top rope moves that a lot of the girls can. They're very lithe, as one might say.
Yeah, there's a lot of intergender wrestling, too. Today, there was a list that came out of the top 500 wrestlers. And for the first time, there were a lot of women on that list. And so we've came a long way.
I wonder if women – I mean, wrestling ends up taking its toll. So you hear physically horrible. I've heard it from the men. I haven't heard it from the women as much, but maybe have not been around as Jake, as long as Jake the Snake and guys like that, because this stuff kicks in later. But it also strikes me that women they're a lot more limber than the guys. So because everyone's got a back problem,
right.
who wrestled. And
a lot of guys train differently now. So many guys used to train like bodybuilders. And now a lot of them get more into the functional training, which makes their careers last longer. And for women, it used to be 5 years. That was about it. You had about a 5-year career, whether that was in WWE or on the indies. Now, one of the women that works with me, she's been wrestling for 25 years. Wow. And she moves, and she's scary.
Has anyone here seen footage of David Arquette wrestling?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like I'd remember that.
He took it semi-seriously.
You did?
It wasn't Andy Kaufman thing.
Well, I mean.
No. This was not theater of the mind, or, he wasn't doing an act. He got into it.
Right.
He threw himself into wrestling. I don't know.
He was a big part of wrestling for a while. He really was, because he loved it.
Is he? But he's not popping up on cards that you're on?
No, not so much anymore.
Yeah, we could probably find a clip or two.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You watch it and you go, oh, yeah, this guy's doing it.
He also starred in Ready to Rumble, that movie. Right. He did get into wrestling, and he got hurt.
I mean, if you and Paul Newman can get into car racing, why can't Arquette do wrestling?
Because this hurts your back a lot more than car racing. Where's it at now? I feel like it's having a renaissance.
It is.
I think you can do with all sports, basketball. You know, I always talk about the heavyweight division of professional boxing. You know, it had these glory years, then it had some lean years, then Mike Tyson came along, and then Mike Tyson left, and it kind of went down again, and there's like that kind of thing. But I feel like wrestling is doing that, but I feel like it's now at its zenith.
Yeah, so wrestling has always kind of been there. It doesn't really have too high of points or too low of points. It's pretty steady. Like, consistency-wise, economy-wise, it's always pretty consistent. But right now, because there is AEW, which is another wrestling company, and there's competition, there's a lot more focus on it. So WWE and AEW are the top two wrestling companies in the country right now. And each one is trying to be the best. And because of that, it's very interesting, especially with Triple H taking over as head of creative of WWE and Vince McMahon stepping down. Now there's a lot of changes over there. And then on the other side with AEW, they just get a ton of press. Whether it's good or bad, I can't say, but they get a ton of publicity.
Any Vince McMahon stories?
I think that because I worked for Donald Trump, you might know him a little bit, Adam.
Yeah. Well, you did Apprentice?
I did, yeah. I did Celebrity Apprentice. Because I worked for Donald Trump and Vince McMahon, I can say that they're very similar.
Mm-hmm. We pick up what you're putting down.
Vince, I'm interested in these guys, and maybe we can find other examples of these guys. Vince McMahon sort of on my Mount Rushmore of strongest and weakest chin.
Oh,
interesting.
Some guys have there are plenty of just big fat guys and they got a weak chin. Mm-hmm. And then there's Thomas Jane, and
right.
they have a strong chin. You know, they're strong. A couple of guys that have both. Kind of simultaneously.
A cleft and a receding chin.
You know who comes to mind instantly? This is a weird poll. The Situation. Mike Sorrentino from Jersey Shore.
Yes.
I can just see it, but like my mind, he's got the sort of defined jaw, but not pronounced.
Strong and weak simultaneously chin guys.
This is very interesting.
And Vince has.
I wonder what it says about them.
It's like a lot of testosterone and likes to eat like or something. It's weird. He's kind of pursing his lips in this picture, so it's probably not.
Though.
But they have a sort of unimpressive chin and an impressive chin. Yeah, this is kind of a better picture of him.
He's wearing more foundation than I am.
Yeah. So
smooth.
Yeah, I don't know why it popped into my head. We have Arquette doing a little wrestling just for Gina.
Thank you.
Because she's not, she didn't get the news.
What year are we talking?
Up until recently. I don't know if he had some injuries.
I'd say early 2000s, but okay. Maybe not.
No, he was doing it more recently than that. Well, I watch TMZ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do show prep.
Yeah.
Oh. Standing in the middle of the ring.
Training.
Going ground and pound on a guy.
This is 2018.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Oh. Ow.
Uh-oh, he's going to get thrown. Oh, he reversed it on him.
He slipped it.
Oh, that was nice.
He knocked him out.
That was nice.
The kid can move.
There's a feeling you get out there you can't get anywhere else. So, you know.
You get it.
All right.
Wow. Go to the top rope, David.
Listen, me and Jimmy for the Man Show went to wrestling camp, and it was brutal.
Did you take bumps?
We did a little coke in, yeah. before.
We oh went. No.
Well, I just need to take the edge
I knew
off.
That was coming.
Everyone
did
it.
Know.
Everyone did it back then. Everybody did it. No one does that with racism.
It was the
really.
90s. Come
everybody
on.
Everybody was that way back then. A bump. What is a bump?
Like where you fall down in the ring. Where someone hits you and you fall
oh,
down.
Oh, yeah. We got thrown around. Jimmy yeah. got jacked up.
So who were you training with?
We went to a wrestling school that was, here's my recollection of
Bam Bam Bigelow.
It was a wrestling school that was way on the kind of outskirts of town.
Okay.
It was, for me, I would do the Man Show during the day, and then I always had to do Loveline at night. Mm-hmm. So I had to be in Culver City by 10 o'clock, and I always hated those. We're meeting at the Man Show at 7:30, and then we're going to get in the van, and then we have to drive an hour and a half to Upland or something.
Was it Santino Brothers?
Probably. And then we drove out of town, and then we wrestled, and I wasn't injured, but Jimmy got injured. But I remember a huge hairy man wearing no t-shirt in a covered with hair, back and arm and everything.
The Junkyard Dog.
Yeah. He was in a like bib overalls or something, and he's giving me a headlock, but uh-huh. it's the BO.
Yeah,
factor.
And the hair.
The
and
hair,
it's just, like,
the,
on
it's
your
all
face.
Over the side
okay.
here. Yeah.
Big John Studd.
Yeah.
I don't know.
God, I forgot about him.
I don't know if any of these guys turned out to be anything. Let's see if you can tell where this wrestling school is.
You think this is the place? You bet your vagina it is. Let's go.
That's really it?
That's a wrestling. Gosh. Yeah, it was real. Jesse Hernandez
right,
and Bill Anderson.
Okay.
Become professional wrestlers.
You guys watch now.
Beautiful.
That's a bump.
Oh, that's a bump.
Uh-huh.
I think this is the guy got me the headlock later on.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't ride
No,
him.
No, that's
We're doing a bump here. Oh, over
there. There you go.
Why are you playing piggy?
Hey! Oh, no.
Jimmy begs him not to hit him.
I like his old school singlet. I really enjoy that.
George Animal.
Is that wool? It looks a little wool.
Clothesline.
Jimmy got flipped. Jimmy got crushed at the end.
I don't think it's going to get any better than this. You know, the only thing missing from you two is a persona.
Oh, these guys can act.
Yeah,
some ideas.
Like a persona.
The Rabbi!
You want I should kick your ass?
Terrifying!
The circumciser.
The alcoholic father.
Boy!
The male flight attendant. The Pope. Flapjack!
I'm part of a complete breakfast!
The drummer from Whitesnake! The calligrapher!
The calligrapher.
And ostrich sack!
Capacity crowd on hand for this tag team extravaganza.
We've got ourselves a doozy.
The sack starts off with some unorthodox bouncing.
And now he's running away like
is
a
that
punk.
Sal?
I forgot. Yeah, it's Sal.
Don't get me.
Deaf rat guy.
Ooh, vicious clothesline.
And Sack gets a taste of the boot.
I loved it.
Tag is made
I forgot when he got injured, he was in the giant scrotum sack outfit.
And the calligrapher shows surprising agility.
Wow!
Oh,
look
smart.
At you!
Oh, I was. Threw my hat at him.
Get this hat out of here!
Oh, you don't do that to another man's hat.
Billy D applies a Boston Crab, and what's this? Ostrich Shack has a steel chair!
I'm gonna take a seat.
Oh, and now whoa. I've seen it all.
You get him!
Damn,
that's
what screwed
Jimmy's back up. That was not acting.
Everyone's getting into the act.
It's pandemonium.
The audience moms as though it's testicles.
We learned a lot today.
All right, we got the bit. Wow. Yeah, when Jimmy got flipped, show Jimmy getting flipped again, we did that at the end.
It looked real.
Well, they looked for that. I don't know if you girls remember, but there was the calligrapher is not that far off from the poet Lanny Poffo.
I didn't know that.
Basically, like there was a character. Randy Macho Man Savage's real name is Randy Poffo. He's like a really good athlete. He was a minor league baseball player, became the Macho Man. His younger brother, Lanny, they threw him a bone. You know, come on, you can do whatever. They tried a couple of personas. He was the genius Lanny Poffo. Then he was the poet Lanny Poffo. And he would like come out. His ring thing was like reading poetry to a confused audience.
I do not remember this.
Do you remember that, Maria?
I do not, no.
Find the poet Lanny Poffo.
You got to learn your history. So when Jimmy got flipped, we did it at the end, as I recall, and Jimmy really got hurt. But we were an hour and a half's drive from where I had to be to do my radio, and it was getting late. So Jimmy was writhing around in a giant scrotum sack outfit.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, hey, man, take care of that.
You'll be all right.
I gotta hustle now. I just remember leaving him. Yeah, I think that stuck with him. But, yeah, when you watch his flip, and we will.
God. Ooh. You see his face. He's not kidding.
He was not acting.
Mm-hmm.
No, we would go do those bits, but you'd get the shit kicked out of you sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was analogous to wrestling, which is like, we knew what we were doing. It doesn't mean you're not going to get the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah, I mean, the first couple of weeks that I was still trying out to be in WWE, they had guys come in to basically show us what could happen in the ring, but also to test us to see if we really wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes it was quite terrifying.
It's like the Navy SEALs.
Yes.
Ring the bell. Yeah,
but you had to go through that. You had to figure out what it was, because it wasn't just, you get to go and be on TV. No, you really had to bump around and be able to take a hit. So,
who are the top elite guys and girls right now?
The poet Lanny Poffo.
You got to find a picture of the poet.
The scroll. No. I would say that Roman Reigns would probably be the top guy. CM Punk would be another one. Of the two guys from two of the major companies. But John Moxley would be another one he's incredible.
Did CM Punk kind of hurt his stock a little when he went into MMA and just kind of got his ass kicked?
I think people were both impressed that he went and actually tried it, but then sad because he lost so badly.
Yeah, it was a kind of a thing where he's like, I mean, you go, hey, we're athletes. This is a sport. Mm-hmm. Let me go into MMA and show you how we do it. And then he just was obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably a pretty tall order. And some of the guys he got in with weren't tomato cans. You know, they were guys
legit fighters.
Well, you know what? They never really, you know, somebody fought Mike Tyson when Mike Tyson was 2-0 or 0-0 or 1-0. His record wasn't 36-0. It was It was Mike who?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he was still Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
So if you get in with an MMA guy who's 2-0 or 3-1 or something, that guy could end up being 26-4 and a champion. You just caught him
time
at the beginning.
And if you catch that, you catch Mike Tyson, you know, you would have much rather fought a boxer who was 13-1 than a 2-0 Mike Tyson at the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that a lot of guys think they can transition very easily over there, but MMA guys have been training their entire lives, just like wrestlers have been training their entire lives to be in that particular sport. So, yeah. It's, I mean, great for them that they want to try it, but at the same time, like, that must be a very tall order.
Well, and it's like you said before, like, what, you know, they were training like bodybuilders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you could tell by looking at me, I'm not super into training. But that's so confusing. Like, we were watching a Lakers documentary, and they were talking about how Michael Jordan, you know, went to go play baseball, and he had to have his body carved totally differently.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he went to basketball, he had to train overtime because his body was a baseball body. I'm like, there's a difference
there
between
is.
A baseball body and a basketball body.
There is. And we call it in ring shape.
Black black.
That's right.
Sorry.
They call it in-ring shape. So you could do cardio all day long, but there's nothing like being in the ring with having 20,000 people screaming for you, and you're getting hit in the middle of it or landed on top of where you lose all of the air out of your body. So that kind of shape is very different than just being cardiovascular in shape, you know. Right. So, you know, it's totally different fields for sure.
Yeah, I had something that's popped in my head, but it's kind of interesting. I was talking to a British guy, and I was doing his show a few weeks ago, and he was saying he was might do like a charity boxing match or something. And so he said, I mean, you can tell me if you've experienced this to some degree. He said, you know, what do I need to work on? And I said, what you need to work on is not going out that night and having a huge adrenaline dump and losing all technique and essentially falling off the back of a cruise ship and drowning because you just start flailing and panicking. You need to figure that out. That's what you got to work on. Not, I mean, we could talk about combinations, but it's all out the window when the lights hit you and the announcer piles and you have this crazy adrenaline dump.
And then someone's yelling at you, you got to go home now, which means that you have to finish the match or you're running out of time. So I've been out there before. We get in the ring and we were supposed to have 8 minutes. And I get in the ring and they're like, go home. And we're like, how long do we have? Oh, 30 seconds, a minute. And we're like, okay, my opponent's all the way across the ring from me. How do I tell them that we need to go straight to the finish? And you just kind of have to look each other at each other and know, like, we're going to do this now.
Yeah.
And to be able to do that on top of get hit, on top, like, it's a different beast. It really is.
So basically, think of doing improv, Adam, but taking a header into a mat every 10,
it is,
10
it's
seconds.
Improv. Yeah. It is improv. And then on top of that, you're doing your own stunts and you're acting. You're playing a character, sometimes well, sometimes not so well. It just, yeah, it all comes together.
This guy told me something interesting. He, and I thought, oh, I never thought about this, but it made sense. He said his boxing trainer just said, I got a dude. He's a young dude. He's a strong dude, and he's a good boxer. I'm bringing him in on Saturday, and you guys are going to fight. And you're not going to talk. You're not going to make friends. You're not going to do anything. He's not going to have speed. That's what we're doing. Just fucking get used to it.
In walks Coco Beware.
That's right. And the poet, Lanny Poffo. And he got you to do the adrenaline thing, but in the gym,
rather,
because
that's
the
right.
scary yeah. situation was now being contained within the gym. We have a picture of the poet Lanny Poffo.
Even better. We have a video.
Okay, good. Because
don't know.
Oh,
is he close to the calligrapher? The calligrapher.
Looks like it.
This is his promo for his debut.
Oh, good.
What year is this? Brian will tell us.
1990-ish.
'89.
I wear my cap and gown and destroy my competition, thus increasing my renown.
Looks kind of like Boston.
Well, I don't mind your mixed reviews. I simply do not care. But when you call me stupid, that is totally unfair. I am the genius Lanny Poffo. You really should applaud. Instead, you cut me to the quick by calling me a fraud. Oh, yes, those little sly remarks, they make me grind my teeth. There's evil on the surface, and there's poison underneath. But
still
I'll be
going.
Getting sweet it's revenge. Good. Yes, everyone will pay. For those who stoop to slander, I will make you rue the day. I'm planning some atrocities for every foe and fan. I am the genius Lanny Poffo, the world's smartest man.
Yeah, so Lanny had several false starts for personas, one of which was the genius Lanny Poffo, and I think it morphed into the poet Lanny Poffo.
It's kind of with him and Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
It's kind of the Don Swayze thing, which is like, I get it.
You're not the thing.
Yeah, we have
I wouldn't want you in Red Dawn.
I don't want to put you in there with Mickey the Dragon Steamboat.
I get that you are related to that guy, and I can see all the similarities, and I'm not sure why it doesn't work, but
already have classic Coke.
That's right. We already have it. Wow. Deep pull.
Damn right.
Weird.
It's the biggest thing of my life in that year, those years.
Yeah, he transitioned from Leaping Lanny to the genius.
Yeah, the genius.
Okay. So you followed wrestling.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we can go deep.
I don't know how much deeper you get than the genius or the poet.
Someday we'll get into the weird racist history of the WWF at the time in the 80s, because they had a character named Bad News Brown. Mm-hmm. He was black. Mm-hmm. And his finishing move was the ghetto blaster. He simply kicked the guy in the head. They had a guy named Slick who was a pimp. That's all he was. He was just a pimp.
I don't remember. So I went
The Godfather.
Yeah, I went to so many WWF festivals. I grew up in Kansas City.
Okay.
My brother is older than me. I did anything he did.
Yeah.
We had all of them. I don't remember him.
Who, Bad News Brown?
No.
Oh, yeah. He was a tough.
Remember the Saturday morning cartoon?
He was like a shaved head, bearded black man who kicked you in the head as his finishing move.
That's cool.
Well, if you were black, that was part of whatever it was you were doing that had to be built in. What was your handle? I mean, or what were they trying? I mean, they were trying to sort of pick something out and then work with it, right?
Yeah. So when I first started, I was a ditzy interviewer. So that was my my shtick.
Yeah, yeah.
And it worked out well for me because I was able to interview all of the guys. And so I got to learn from everyone I worked with.
Because it's the stand-ups. They're really
selling,
right?
So, I mean, and I would react in a way that was very, like, giggly. And so the guys were all able to work with me, Edge and Rock and, you know, Triple H. And I worked with Flair for a while. So I got to work with everyone because of it.
Nice.
But then that transitioned to the First Lady, where I became the mouthpiece for a tag team in Ring of Honor. I worked for Impact Wrestling, where I kept the logo or the mantra of being the First Lady. But then I was leader of the women's division, went back to WWE, and was a very angry pregnant woman when I was there.
Nice.
Which was not so far off of the truth, because I hated being pregnant. Love my babies, I do, but...
Couldn't do your bumps.
Couldn't do my bumps, but also...
She calls this move the baby bump.
So I did that, and then I went back to Ring of Honor Wrestling, and I became the producer and also the human resources for the women's division. So I transitioned to being kind of behind the scenes. And then now I own Women's Wrestling Army, which I'm the CEO of, and I book the talent. And I'm mama bear for them. I wanted to create a platform that was safe and was female friendly, but also inclusive. We have a non-binary people that work for us. We have people from all different genders. And, you know, to have that space now and that transition from being ditzy interviewer to now CEO has been
it's
a very long path.
Yeah.
But it's also I just always knew that I wanted there to be more opportunities for women.
I've always said you need a safe place to pile drive people and drop elbows on them. There is such a space that has been created.
You certainly need a trusting space.
Well, in wrestling, you have to find a safe space that you can be creative.
Right.
Uh-huh. As soon as somebody says, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that, then instantly your creativity goes out the window and you just become a robot. And so for me, a safe space, meaning you can be whoever you want to be and whoever feels comfortable for you. And I think that's what we have now.
We have Bad News Brown.
No, just kicking it in the head. Yeah, like Angry Black.
Brian, it is your birthday.
Here's the ghetto blaster.
I was doing the ghetto.
That just kicked in the head.
That's a sweet move.
By the way,
it's a double roundhouse.
His type was angry black men.
Can you imagine even trying to figure out how to do that?
Took out the junkyard dog.
No, black on black crime.
Yeah.
Well, you basically just fall as you're going down.
The thing about the kick to the back of the head is it feels like that's a difficult one to regulate. Like, first off, anyone's been hit in the back of the head, it screws up your equilibrium immediately. Mm. Like, when you box or spar and someone whacks you in the back of the head, yes, it just fucks your world up. You'll feel like a little electric shock go down your leg and stuff. Like, it screws you up. It's happened to me a few times. But the way he's kicking people in the back of the head, it's hard to avoid getting kicked in the back of the head.
It's very devil-may-care.
I was triple super kicked one time. And that was the worst thing I ever took. There was nowhere for me to go. And I was standing on the apron. So here I am standing on the apron, and here comes the Young Bucks and AJ Styles. And there's nowhere for my head to go. So I just put my head down, and here we take it. But, he came. Like, AJ Styles, he got his heel right on the top of my head and threw me a little off for a while. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I guess in a way it's a little like porn, you know? You have to kind of trust your partner, but some guys get a little overzealous.
Get a little rough.
They get caught up in the moment.
Yeah, a little zealous.
Yeah. Women's Wrestling Army is the wrestling show. New episodes every Wednesday exclusively on Pro Wrestling TV is where you can find Maria. Thanks for coming in.
Of course.
Oh, we have the triple kick.
Oh, my God. It hurt to watch.
Everything's on the internet these days, isn't it?
Right.
You're outside the ring on the skirt, right?
I am, yep. Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Just get out of the way.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's not a safe space.
We've come a long way, baby.
Three dudes.
Yeah, I did. So that was one of them. There's another one as well. So, yeah.
Well, it hurts my teeth.
Do the guys at all be like, I am so sorry about that?
No, because they're professionals.
In porn, Gina.
Miss Elizabeth came and put a towel on.
I put
Elizabeth.
Myself there.
Yeah, I
you
get
know,
it.
I wouldn't want them to apologize. But the hardest hit I ever got was from my husband, actually. Not
this
that way.
Please be in the ring. Please be in the ring. Please be in the ring.
We had screwed up something we were supposed to do in the ring prior to this. And so both of us were like, you know what? We're really going to be there and we're going to, you know, he's going to really kick me. And I decided I was going to put my head forward. And he super kicked me in the head. And you just see me fall like a freaking cartoon, just fall right backwards. Yeah.
Do you remember it or did you like black out?
No, I remember that. Yeah. No, I remember.
Jimmy Mouth the South Heart came over this megaphone.
Are you okay?
By the way, did you. First off, women remember the fucking time you left their car seat in the wrong position for the next argument
right.
of the inconsiderate husband. You don't think the super kick to the
temples? Well, I didn't know if it was like do you black out in
Didn't matter.
Moment?
Okay. She would still summon that the next time they got into an argument. That's how women work.
Remember
Gina.
That time you kicked me and I asked you to?
All right, Maria. We will take ourselves a quick break. Jonathan Kite, comedian, in studio right after this.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.
O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.